sharing for probably the last month, just because God's just wanting us to catch something of Himself. And this whole picture in Joshua, not that we're really going into do a big study in that this morning, but we're looking at some basic aspects again. And I'm sure most of us here, when we go shopping, and in our household I do the Christmas shopping, I do most of the grocery shopping. I usually do that sort of thing. Sharon hates shopping. And so I do most of it, not because I want to, but because I'm a good husband. And, you know, I'll get it in there where I can, right? And anyway, when you're shopping for toys and things for your children, it's pretty important when you're buying a toy or something that moves or does something that needs power, that you read on the box to make sure that the batteries are included, right? It's pretty important that we have batteries, because sometimes the boxes say batteries not included and you get home and there's no power. Batteries are pretty important, because if something is going to work, it needs power, right? And it's not rocket science. And so spiritually speaking, that's been the frustrating experience for many Christians. They have had everything but power. We could almost say faith, if you like, because it's linked in a measure there. There's no doubt about that. And it's a lot like trying to swim without water. You need water to swim, right? They go together. Or trying to live a Christian life without God's power, because He's given us His power that we might be able to function and live this life. And so this morning we're continuing and looking at this Jordan crossing in the book of Joshua. And in looking at this story, there's so many aspects that we can catch from it. And one of those is that victory demands the release of God's power on our behalf. We saw it this morning. There was victory over pain, but it was a release of God's power. But He uses man, right? That's why He gets the glory, because it's by Him. And so therefore, knowing how to plug into this power is absolutely essential in our Christian walk. And do you know, church, that the power of God is always flowing? It's always there. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. His power is always flowing. And sometimes it might seem that God is idle and not much is happening, but usually it's because we have stepped out of the stream. We have stepped out of the flow, because He changes not. Amen? So we don't need to look at the circumstances or look at the things that are going on or have a whinge about this and that. How about we have a look at ourselves? Because He changes not. You know, if you put your finger in the power socket, 240 volt power socket, you are going to know that you are connected to power. Right? You are going to realize that the connection is taking place. You're going to feel it. You're going to probably feel very alive. And you're going to know that there's a connection that's taken place. Hallelujah. And it's just like this relationship with God. You should know without a doubt that there is a connection between you and God and to His power. You know, it's not, and I'm not saying it's by feeling, like putting your finger at 240 volts. It's a knowing. I know I'm saved. How do I know that? Am I in heaven? No, I'm not. It's by faith, right? The Word of God, I know there's an inherent knowing within my spirit that I am saved and I've received salvation. That's right, blessed assurance. There is an inherent knowing within my spirit that the same anointing that raised Christ from the dead abides in me. There is a knowing that there is power in me. There should be a knowing that there is power in you, because there's a connection with the Most High God. Amen? And so it's not a feeling, it's a knowing. There's a knowing. And it's basically like an electrical appliance. It has to be plugged in to make it work. This is very simple stuff. So we need to be plugged into God to make you work, to get the best out of what God wants to do. Amen. And so this message, I want to talk about or touch on, because it's a big topic, the river of God in which the power of God flows. And the first thing to mention, and probably one of the most important things, is that God's power flows because of His purpose. It flows because of His purpose. God uses His power to accomplish His purposes. We prayed for people this morning and saw them healed. Why? Because I wanted to? No, because His word declared it. We understood it was His will. We know it's His purpose to set free. We know it's His purpose to deliver and to heal. Amen? So His power flows according to His purpose. Do we understand that? Amen. Not yours, not mine, but His purposes. It's never released to simplify, to satisfy our flesh or to bail us out of a spot that He didn't lead us into. Now, sometimes by His grace or mercy, He's going to help you out anyway. God is not a show-off. You know, that's what I love about God. He's not a show-off. And God is not running some sort of sideshow for the amusement of miracle groupies. God's not doing that. That's not what it's about. God uses His power to accomplish His purposes. Amen. Hallelujah. And you guys have probably seen some of those old classic movies. We see them, you know, around Easter and Christmas. These old, I can't remember their names now, but the old ones that come out, the old classic things like Moses and the Ten Commandments and those sorts of things. And you might have seen Jesus standing before Herod as an example, and Herod would ask Him to perform a miracle, or there'd be people that would be mocking Jesus, you know, and saying all sorts of stuff. And Jesus would just stand there a lot of times and say nothing. Or Moses is speaking with Pharaoh, and it's falling on deaf ears, and there's no respect, and there's no nothing, and it's like, man, this is just frustrating. Look at this guy. Does he realize who he's messing with? You know, he's messing with God here. And I watch these things sometimes, and a part of me wants just to yell out and say, come on, Lord, take him out. Teach him a lesson. Teach him some respect. Come on, do it, Jesus. Work a miracle. Hit him with a bolt of lightning. Show him who you are, Lord, right? And all that sort of thing. And I'm sure for all of us, at some point or other, we've wanted a supernatural, to see a supernatural move of God to manifest, especially when things seem unjust and unfair. Because we know God can, right? Yeah, we know that Jesus could have called for a legion of angels on the cross, but He didn't. Because He knew the purpose of God. Jesus didn't do that because it was not within His purpose. And I think we can have a tendency to treat God like some sort of butler. And get me this or get me that. Or like some sort of genie that we rub with our prayer lamp and all our desires and our problems are sorted. Not forgetting that there are words in the Bible that God watches over His word to perform it. But the key to that, it's not our word, is His word. He wants us to use our word, though, to call those things that be not as though they are. He wants us to appropriate His word through prayer, through prophecy, through declaration and proclamation, through spiritual warfare. But whose word is it? It's His word that He's watching over to perform. And that's why our word needs to be a reflection of His, that we imitate Christ. So God is not our servant in the sense of that. Yes, I know He comes to serve all, and He comes in that way, and he, you know what I'm trying to say here. I'm going to dig myself a hole, so I'll stop. He is the Lord of life. In fact, He's the resurrection and the life, and I just love that. It is who He is. and he is the one who makes the plans, he is the one who executes the plans, and he is the one who causes them to come to pass. This is who our God is, amen? He is all power, and the exercise of his power is reserved to accomplish his purposes. I love that. However, if you will let him, he will sweep you up in the flow of his river and of his purpose. Then we'll know his power. For you'll find that his purpose actually includes his children. His purpose includes all of you. Amen. Isn't that good? And the only difference is it's his way, not ours. And it's his timing. And I know you wish I never said that. But it is, it's his timing, not ours. So God has a plan and a purpose for every life, and we must find and we must fit into that purpose. And so I want to look at three characteristics of his plan for our lives. And the first one, and these are very basic things, that God's plan is always with an eternal purpose. And we need to understand that we always limit things, or we have a tendency to limit things because of this age, because of time. And God's looking beyond the grave. He's looking into eternity. And his plan is an eternal one with an eternal purpose. Just as God has planned, if you look at the other direction, centuries beforehand, that Israel would occupy Canaan, that Joshua would cross over the Jordan River. So God in eternity, he drew out the plans for our life. And that's why Scripture says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created to do good works. He planned for each of us before the foundation of the world. Now that, we can easily just gloss over that. But isn't that amazing? I've said this before. Before you were born, even before the worlds were formed, God had singled you out. God had you in mind. I mean, if you stop and ponder, that's some pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing to think before the worlds existed, before creation, before anything, you were in God's mind. You were in God's plan. You were a part of his purpose, and he singled you out, and he custom made you with a plan for your life that would serve his purpose. Isn't that amazing? You know, we forget those things. We just gloss over it. Yeah, I was created before the foundations of the world. Well, what does that really mean? That he had such a deep love for you. Such a plan, such a responsibility to pour in all that he has into you, to use you for his glory. You know, purposed you, custom made you, called you by name. I mean, it's astounding. It's absolutely astounding. No one else but you, and you alone. Your life has been planned and purposed individually by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's got to be humbling if we stop and think about it. So saying that and looking at the scripture in Ephesians, true success in life must be fulfilling the plan that God has created each of us for. If he's created us with a plan and a purpose, well, what is that? Because that's what God's calling us to do. And he's called us that we might fulfill what he has put in us and what he's purposed us for. Now, success is not a title, it's not a position, it's not some recognition of self-importance, it's not wealth, it's not belongings, and it's not looks, and it's not fashion, and it's not fame. Praise the Lord for that. Success is fulfilling the plan that God has created you for. And therefore, at some stage, it makes sense that we find out and we know what God has created us for. I mean, this is just so simple, isn't it? Why do we struggle with this? So the real message here is that the purpose of God should rise above every other consideration. let your will be done, not mine. That's what Jesus said, because Jesus understood this. He realized that he was birthed because there was a purpose upon his life to redeem mankind. And he said, you know, this is your purpose. It must rise against my flesh. It must rise against what I want. Therefore, he went to the cross. He could have called on a legion of angels, but he said, no, I will allow my blood to be spilt that you might be healed. I might allow my flesh to die that you might live. Amen. Hallelujah. Let your will be done and not mine. See, Jesus understood this principle. And that's why he's taught it to us, that we might be able to know what the purpose that God has created us for and be able to walk in that. And we should understand that God's purpose in our life is important. Well, no one's going to disagree with that. Sounds very obvious. Yet it's actually an essential to fulfill our destiny. Because to miss God's purpose is like wasting our life and wandering around aimlessly. God has got something that he wants us to do. For God has created all things so that all things might magnify his name. That's why we're here, to magnify his name, to bring glory to him. And you've been created to be like a showpiece for his glory. You know, we put things that we treasure, we hang it on the wall and we put on the mantelpiece and all that sort of stuff, and we polish it and make it nice. And it just makes me think of the Lord, where He loves us so much that that's what he's doing to us, you know. He's trying to get us looking good. He's trying to put us in the right spot, you know, that people might see and behold his majesty, that they might see us and recognize the Creator. And a huge part of our goal is to prepare and to move ourselves towards the goal for which we created, because most of it's preparation, church. But God will use you right where you're at. There's no doubt about that. Now, if we played our worship this morning through some really dodgy speakers. Now, imagine if we had some speakers that are little wee transistor radio speakers that are found at the dump. And I hooked them up and we did our worship music through those. How would it sound? It'd sound like rubbish. No pun intended. It's just not what it's created to do, those things. The music would be a bad interpretation of what it was intended to be. It would miss the mark for what it was created for. And if the music could feel, it would be frustrated and disappointed with the results of a dodgy sound. And you see, I'm giving you an analogy because it's like our life. We have the ability to be a beautiful song that is sung by the Lord. You know, we have the ability to be a beautiful song that is sung by the Lord for his glory. Amen. Yet a lot of times, church, we settle for the limited, for the possible, for what our efforts can achieve. And I understand that worship is a heart thing. It's not a speaker thing, right? But that's not what I'm getting at. The point is, we don't settle for something less. God has got something so much better. So much better. And we sometimes use the wrong timing in our impatience. And our life becomes a playback on a dodgy gramophone, if you like, with poor timing and bad sound instead of what God has intended. Because God has intended the best for us. Amen? Remember, God has a plan. It's God's plan. And not only that, God has a plan for you. You know, the Apostle Paul was heading towards Damascus on a mission to capture those who worshipped God. He didn't like them. Obviously, this is before he started leading people to Christ. And the Lord appeared to him in a blinding light, and he said, Paul, it is painful to kick against the goads. And now, for those who don't know, and some Bibles use a different word there, but the goad was a sharp stick to keep the oxen moving in the right direction. And it was painful for the ox. When he was trying to go his own way, the ox would kick against the goad, and the person who was leading the ox would prod the ox. And the ox would kick rather than yielding to the direction he was trying to be led. So Jesus is saying to Paul, why are you fighting against me? You're only hurting yourself. Now here's the challenge, because we get compared to an ox. An ox has enough sense to stop kicking when it gets prodded and poked. Why do we wrestle and fight with God so much? Now I know this is not too flattering, but church, be like an ox and stop kicking when God's trying to prod us. Amen? We just have to trust that He knows best. And the reason God corrects us is because He loves us so much and He desires to see His plan outworked in His creation. Amen? And finally, the purpose of God. Do you know it's an exciting purpose? Church is meant to be exciting. You know, I doubt a single Israelite died of boredom. I know that none of the apostles did. Yet sometimes, you know, we can fall asleep in church or whatever, that sort of thing. And, you know, and I've looked and thought maybe people here are in church and times past, they're starting to die of boredom. It's not meant to be like that. It's meant to be life in this place, right? I'm only having a bit of fun this morning, so church can be fun. It's not meant to be a boring place. And the things of God are not meant to be boring. Amen? Now, as the people run forward into God's purpose, God did wonders among them. You know, every Christian who walks with God, you'll begin to find wonders every single day. As you pick up that Bible, you'll see things you've never seen. It'll become alive. Stuff will come off the page. You'll be overwhelmed with the revelation that God shows you. Amen? It's exciting. There's wonders in this thing, and it's alive, and there's just something that's incredible about being a Christian and walking with God. But sometimes it's a discipline. You know, even last night, I'll give you a little testimony. Sharon's ears have been blocked, and I'll talk to her, and she doesn't hear me. So I have to talk louder, and I'm getting sick of talking louder, you know. And we've been believing God and that sort of thing, and so we're both really tired yesterday, and Sharon went to bed, and I went, all right, good night, I'll catch you later. And I started sitting down in front of my computer to go through my notes for today, and as I was sitting there, I started feeling convicted because we hadn't prayed. And so I went into the room, and I said, Sharon, are you awake? And I couldn't tell because I have to talk loud, you know. So, Sharon, are you awake? You know. And then I realized that she was now. And so I said to Sharon, come on, we really need to pray. We haven't prayed. And I said, you know what, to be honest, I don't feel like praying. I feel tired. I feel worn out. I really don't feel like it's in me to pray, but I know that we need to stand together and we need to pray for this meeting today. I know that we need to do it because this is a principle of God that God is calling us to. So I said, I'm sorry that I've woken you, but we need to pray. I really don't feel like praying, so you start. Did I say that? Yeah, I said that. And she was probably too tired to argue, so she started praying. But the good thing is, we prayed together, and we prayed for this meeting, and it was a discipline. I didn't want to do it, but the Lord convicted me, because He wants us to put the principles in place according to His Word, because out of it comes life. Amen. There's something attached to it when we walk according to the Word of God and we do as He asks us to do. It'll bless you. And I felt good after that because I no longer felt convicted. Hallelujah. So there's an example for you. We all battle with these things. This is the reality of walking this Christian life. And pretty soon you'll find yourself starting every day saying, well, Lord, what's it going to be today? Lord, do you have a word for someone? I'm going shopping. Lord, is there someone I need to speak to? Is there someone I need to bless? Is there someone I need to ring? Is there something I need to do? And you walk this day not knowing what the day is going to hold and what calls you're going to get, who you're going to talk to, what's going to happen, and it'll be exciting. One day there, I walked in my backyard. Nico hands a roast lamb over the fence. That was exciting. I love those days. You never know what the day is going to hold. Amen. It is awesome. Now, maybe for you, it could be the contentment of a quiet stroll. Perhaps you might be going through a stormy battle, or there's the satisfaction of giving yourself to someone in need or doing something for them. But moving in the river of God's purpose is exciting. And it's amazing because you begin to see obstacles collapse like eggshells because you don't waver or move from the Word of God. And as God guards you with His presence and He guards you with His power, you see His hand at work. Amen. And you begin to speak to people and see things. You think, wow, that was a God moment. That was a God encounter. Man, that was so timely. If it rung 5 minutes later, I would have missed this opportunity. You know, when Paul was sailing to Rome, their ship was caught in a great storm and the sailors were freaking out. There was some really rough seas and the storm raged and it seemed certain that the ship and all its passengers were going to be lost. And that night, Paul held a private prayer meeting, and the next morning he stood up in the midst of all the people, all his shipmates, and he basically said to them, in my own words, cheer up. Cheer up. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Now, that's a pretty unusual thing to do in those sorts of circumstances. And it's a bit like Jesus when he was fast asleep on the boat going across the Sea of Galilee and there was a storm and everyone was fearing for their life. You see, Jesus and Paul, they knew who was in control and they completely trusted the Father. Can we get their church to that place? Amen. And a real important and quite often frustrating thing is knowing that God's power flows in the river of His timing. And I apologize for sure, well, I don't really, for sharing this today, because we don't like God's timing. We struggle with God's timing. We really do. And we all know this one, but we don't really like it. You know, from the third chapter of Joshua, you can really see that it was God's timetable that was being followed. And understanding the principle of God's timing is pretty important if God's power is going to be released. Because of God's timing or God's delay, or call it our impatience, a lot of people somehow forget about who God is. And they end up journeying down to Panic Place. Have you heard this? They journey down to Panic Place at the corner of Anxious Avenue in the suburb of Worry Yourself Sick. And it's true. When the heat is on and stuff has gone on in our life, we just suddenly forget who God is. We suddenly forget that He has the plan. We suddenly forget that He has the purpose. We suddenly forget to trust Him at His word. And all of a sudden we're overcome by anxiousness and worry and concern. And how am I going to do this? And how am I going to do that? What has happened to our faith? Lord, help us. We all do it. God is trying to transition His people to trust Him at His word and to stand in faith, to walk by sight, walk by faith and not by sight. God's timing is always perfect, and it's going to mess you up if you can't trust Him with timing. It'll mess you up. It's His wisdom and not ours. He's never early. Of course, He's never late. He is right on time, 11:59 and 59 seconds. That's when He does it a lot of times for me anyway. And you can go through a whole lot of stuff up to that time and that point. But you know what? In the process of that, it's developing character. It's causing you to trust Him. It's causing you to look at Him. Do you know you can do the right thing at the wrong time? You look at Moses, for example. God's choice. He was God's choice as a deliverer, to deliver his people from bondage. But he got ahead of God and he killed an Egyptian bully. And he ends up 40 years in the desert. It was the wrong timing to stand as a deliverer for his people. And the result was that Moses lost the confidence of his own people, because no one wants to trust a man who works in his own wisdom and his own flesh. They want someone that's led of God. And so he spends that time in the desert. But the only difference is when God was ready, the people were taken out in one night. When it's God's timing, it's amazing. The power of God flows. Miracles flow. The preparation flows. The doors are open. Amen. God makes a way where there is no way. You know, Abraham, you can say, missed God's timing also, because God had promised him and Sarah a son that would be the beginning of a mighty nation. And the years passed, but the promise remained unfulfilled because of God's timing. And these things can start messing with the thinking. Well, how's this going to happen? We're getting too old in years and all the rest of things, but Lord, you've said this. So Abraham's getting older, and what does he do? He had a son to his wife's servant girl. But man can never bring to pass the purposes of God, and it's foolishness and it's dangerous to do so. You know, nothing but disaster results. And here was Abraham trying to help God out. God's got the plan. God's got the plan. You know, I think we need to understand that time spent waiting on God is not wasted time. It's never wasted. The reality is time wasted when we refuse to wait upon the Lord. That's wasted time. You know, sometimes, and I know in my day, there doesn't seem to be much time left. You know, it's easy to think, well, I'll just do that rather than read my Bible. I'll just do that rather than pray. But you know what? The praying and that's the important stuff. God helps all the rest of it out. We just got to put things the right way around. Jesus' life was the perfect timing of God, and the Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And you think about this, it took 30 years to prepare Jesus for a 3-year ministry. 30 years for a 3-year ministry. And you know why? Anyway, I won't go there. God's timing was shown when he said, "My hour has not yet come," which is repeated throughout the Gospels. Several times the Jews tried to kill him, or wanted to, but they couldn't because his hour had not yet come, because it's God's plan. You know, if God is to release his power in your life, you have to place yourself wholeheartedly into the river of his purpose and wait. And we wait with a steadfast expectation. We wait unwavering, amen? We still pray and believe by faith and declare things, but God will bring it to pass when he's going to bring it to pass. I know God's going to do something in this church, but it's his timing. I know one day we'll have our own place, but it's his timing. I know one day there won't be enough seats here, but it's his timing. I know one point we're going to see souls come into this place. We're going to see a harvest like we've never seen before, but it's God's timing. But what do we do every Sunday? We continue to pray for it. We continue to believe for it, and we stand because we know this is his heart and this is his word to accomplish these things. Amen. Christ will fulfill his word. You know, you might have desires in your heart. You know, things you want to do in the Lord. And it says that even with gifts, it says the fruit, the evidence of the fruit makes way for itself, or a gift makes way for itself. You see it. You see it happening, right? You know, if some people think they have a thing of prophecy, well, prophesy. It doesn't have to be here. Prophesy out there to people. You know, everyone can heal someone. There's not many that walk in the office of healing. But you know what? If that's what you feel God's calling you to do, well, bring the people in that you've healed. It doesn't have to happen here. Let the gift make way for itself and start it functioning out on the highways and the byways. We get so caught up in of the building and the church and the place, and I understand that God has set things in order in this house and there's opportunities for those things, but it's not the be-all and end-all, because there's a whole nation out there that needs to see the signs and the wonders and the power of God and the Word of God. And he said, to those who believe, these signs shall follow them. Amen. If you're a believer today, then these signs shall follow you. But it might take an appropriation of the Word of God to begin to walk on that and to see to then to step into faith and to begin to do what God has called you to do. Amen. And so this morning I want to encourage you that you might begin to get in over your head. Get into the deep water. Take the floaties off. Get rid of the rubber ring. Stop sitting in the shallows playing with a rubber ducky. Get into the deep water. God is worth it, church. Amen. He's got so much more that we as a people would know how to be in the flow and what it's like to live in the flow and experience the fullness of God that he has for his people, because we've seen nothing yet. I know that God has so much more for my life. I know God is calling me to go deeper. Amen. I know I haven't even touched God in the sense of how vast and how big he is. He is limitless, you know. And I want to know him more. And I want to draw closer to him more. And I know as we do these things, he's going to reveal himself ever more, and we're going to be amazed. We are going to be amazed. Hallelujah. You know, I just wonder if we really understand how important we are as the remnant of God, as God's bride, and how much God actually wants to pour his life through you as a son and ambassador of the kingdom of God, remembering that we're bought with a price. Head for the deep end, get in over your heads. You see, then you haven't got your feet on the bottom and you can't take control, because the flow of the river is going to determine where you're going to go. Amen. Now let me say this, and I put this on Facebook this week. The same boiling water that softens the potato also hardens the egg. It's not about the circumstances, but rather what you are made of. Don't be an egg. Don't allow the heat of life to cause you to become hard. Amen. Stay soft before the Lord and allow him to speak to your heart and allow him to do what he wants to do with your life. Amen. There's always going to be the heat of life and the circumstances. Don't be an egg. Don't get hard. Hallelujah. God has put some royalty in you. God has given you an overcoming spirit. You already have a measure of faith. We just don't appropriate it like we should, I believe. His word is alive. His spirit dwells in your church. And God is wanting his people to come alive and understand the position that you stand in, and the position that you're in is seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not going to be the same. For the Lord said that he's coming to prepare a bride. That tells me we will not be the same. We can't remain the same. Created in his image. Now, without raising our hands, just a question to get us thinking as we close. How many of us can honestly say that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know that you're exactly in the center of God's will and that you are right where God wants you to be in your spiritual growth? Now, how many of us can say that? Now, it can get you thinking, but we need to ask these questions. And if you're unsure about the answer, that tells me that you need to get swimming. It tells me if you're unsure, if you're in the exact center of God's will and the purpose that he has, and you question that, there's a preacher in the making. He just wants to come up the front. It tells me that we've got to get swimming, amen. We've got to get in the deep end. And the way to know is just to jump in the flow of God. Just jump in and go for it. You've got nothing to lose. everything to gain. You know, sometimes when I first became a Christian, I was a bit embarrassed to raise my hands. I was, you know, shy with this and shy with that. I didn't want to say nothing. But God ends up causing us to be bold, causes us to be fearless where we can talk to those who are lost. And I remember standing out there with Sharon just out here by the shopping center, and we were waiting for people to come by to pray for them. And anyone that was limping or something, man, we were jumping on them, because we're just excited about the word of God that says, you know, by his stripes you're healed. So because of that boldness, we want to see them free. So we'd go and do some of that stuff. You know, but do that 10, 20 years ago, no way. But God puts something in you, you know. Now I'll raise my hands and worship God because I'm not prideful in it. I just want to give him the glory. I just want to worship him. I just want to honor him. I just want to tell people about it. But in doing so, we have wisdom too, right? Man, some of those street preachers I've heard, and I almost want to take them off their pulpit and say, hey, get down, you're just causing problems, mate. You know, there's a time and a place, and there is God's timing in all things. And we need to have wisdom of that. Otherwise, we can actually be dangerous. Yeah. So we just need to jump on in the flow. That's where we meet him. And we know that the Jordan River parted and the ark was found in the middle, right? We're talking about a flowing river. They crossed through on dry ground, but the principle is still the same. In the middle of that river, Jesus is found. Amen. If we'll just jump in, church, start believing for stuff in this place, that it might be full, that there might be the ones who need God here, that there might be deliverance that takes place and healing that takes place, that we might see the miracle hand of God work this place, that there's too many, that every one of you guys has got to be involved. There's too many people to minister to. Amen. The body's got to begin to function. Let's begin to pray for this and believe for these things that I mean, I don't know where everyone is today, so many away, but believe things to change. You know, the devil wants to keep people out of church. He wants to keep those that are part of this house, and we pray for this regularly, Lord. Lord, let no sickness, let no disease, let no accident, let no incident stop people coming and having fellowship in your house. And we take authority over that people might be able to come into church on a Sunday, but the enemy's going around like a roaring lion trying to keep people out of here. To the point, like myself last night, where we don't want to pray. Because it's a discipline sometimes, isn't it?